Would you bow down with me? Let's go to God in prayer. Amen? God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of scriptures. Your Spirit, Holy Spirit, draws us to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Righteous Father, help us to acknowledge Him as our Lord. We ask that you will send your Holy Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter Gospel. Lord, give us undivided attention. Lord, touch me, Lord, touch my lips. Help my brothers and sisters go beyond me, Lord Jesus, that they may see you through your word, Lord. I ask all these things in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, Amen. Today's scripture passage comes from John chapter 20. Verse 1 all the way 18. You just heard Brother Don reciting us in Navajo, verse number 18. So we are in the series of the Lord Jesus' Galilean ministry. And this is the 11th week. We'll go one more next week. It'll be 12, a dozen messages, and we'll move on to another series. So, I always like to start with a small story. And this story has to do with a woman, even after Easter, continuing to go and saying, alive, alive, Jesus is alive. Amen? How would you like that? Alive, alive, Jesus is alive. He is risen, He is alive. Not just on the Easter Sunday. It's all year long. Every day. Amen? And here is the story. Following an Easter service in 2003, a woman approached the pastor and asked, "So what happened with Jesus after the resurrection?" Well, pastor said, "He ascended into heaven and he's still alive. I know he's resurrected, but is he really alive?" she asked. "Yes, he is alive," pastor said. "Alive, alive? Why didn't you tell me?" she said. For the next 2 weeks, she telephoned everyone she knew and exclaimed, "Jesus is alive. Did you know he's alive?" John, Apostle John, carefully reports all those things that we need to know about Jesus. Resurrection is one of those things John would like us to know very well so that we may believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of living God, and that by believing we may have life in His name. John not only shares about personal reunion about Jesus and Mary Magdalene, spiritually meaning, but also tells us what it means for Christians to have a transformed relationship with the resurrected Lord. Before I start the message, I would like to just give us a glimpse about how the tomb looked like at the time of Jesus. Yes, let's do this. Like you see outside, the little narthex. That's what I'm trying to make here. So here is a wall. Here is a wall. Right? And here is a little track. It's like a little trough, you know, a little track for the rolling stone. Can everybody see? Come closer if you don't see. Okay. Higher. Okay. Hopefully higher. Oh, yeah, sure. That's what you mean. Okay, okay. Yep. Can you see now? Can you see? Okay. All right. Wall, right? And it is a stone, a rolling stone, right? And then see, the stone is on the track, on the trough, right? That's how the front looked like. And then you have the narthex, like that little room there, right? You come to the room, and then here is a bench. That's where they prepare the body, yeah? And then some of the tomb have the little crevice. It's about 24 inch long, right? And here is a little hole there. They prepare the body, they anoint the body, and they insert the body here, right? Can everybody see? And the other one is here the same way. It could be a family tomb, right? All right. If you don't have a lot of money, you just want a little, you know, a chamber like that. But if you're a rich person, you have a lot of money you can afford, then you can have a small little passageway and then a big place right there inside, a bigger chamber. And then you can have a little niche, a crevice, a little hole, 24 inch, where you can slide the body, prepared body right there. The whole family goes here. You see? A room for a whole family, you know. And then every time someone in the family dies, they roll the stone. It needs a lot of, a strong person to move the hole. And then you go inside, you prepare the body. You laid, and then you go inside, grandfather, grandmother, father, mother, children, all that. So as the body decays, and that's when they have these little boxes. They call it ossuaries. Ossuaries, you know, little bone boxes. And you, it's made of marble, beautiful, just laid on the floor like that. You know, that's what we're talking about. But the Lord Jesus' tomb did not have all this, and they didn't, most probably they didn't put the body in the little niche, you know. They just, in a hurry, Sabbath, right? After the Sabbath started, they just prepared the body and laid on the table. That's what we're talking about. So rolling the stone is very heavy. Cannot do it alone. You need a lot of help, strong people to roll it, just to let you know. So, Jews from the first century carved cave tombs in the limestone hills surrounding the Jerusalem walls. The type of tomb Jesus of Arimathea, a rich follower of Jesus, built was a rock-cut one. It's a brand new tomb. Nobody was laid there ever. So, Joseph of Arimathea wanted to give a decent burial, honor the Lord. He didn't want the Lord Jesus' body hang on the cross overnight. So he asked permission of Pilate to secure the body and wanted to give an honorable burial. So we heard that, rolling stone, right? We heard about ossuaries, bone boxes. We heard about a burial chamber inside. And a burial chamber outside, like that narthex there. And we heard about burial niche, a little hole on the wall, right? About 24 inch. We heard about bone boxes, ossuaries. When John noted, John the Apostle noted, that Jesus is placed in a new tomb, this means that there are no ossuaries, no bone boxes, and no used burial niches. It's a brand new tomb. He is the first, the Lord Jesus is the first to be laid in a newly cut cork, knit, a crevice, you know. Who's Mary? Let's go there. Who's Mary? Magdalene. Why did she love the Lord so much? Let's go there. We talked about the tomb. The tomb is empty. He is risen. Amen. That's the first proof. How about this lady by the name Mary Magdalene? Sea of Galilee. Right? This is a place called Magdala. Right? There. And then you have Capernaum. Big, huge Sea of Galilee, a place called Magdala. Sea is from a place called Magdala. That's why we call Mary Magdalene. Amen? So she had a heart for Jesus. She loved Christ deeply more than any other disciples. Mary Magdalene came from this Galilean village, northwestern shore of seashore of Sea of Galilee. So Jesus had expelled seven demons out of her. She devotedly followed Jesus. According to Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, along with other women, she followed Jesus to Jerusalem to care for his needs. She boldly stood for Jesus in Golgotha. Yes, according to Mark chapter 15, verse 1. Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Mary Magdalene watched Jesus crucified. She witnessed painful death on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. She was deeply committed, disciples of all disciples. Amen? Mary returns with other woman, Mary, mother of James and Salome, to the tomb because Jesus' burial was done on Friday. Within some haste, they were in a hurry. They simply wanted to contribute to Jesus' burial, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And so they brought spices as soon as the Sabbath was over to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it could be that the woman didn't know the preparation that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had already done. John chapter 19, verse 39. Joseph of Arimathea was accompanied by Nicodemus, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. John chapter 19, verse 39. So, Nicodemus didn't have time on Friday. That Good Friday. And he didn't have time to anoint the body completely because he had a large amount of spices. The Sabbath is already started, right? And you don't have electricity, no cell phone, no torchlight. So can you see? No, you lay the body on the bench and you go, right? Because Sabbath has already started. On Friday, Jesus was left on the burial preparation bench in the receiving room of the tomb chamber. Now it makes sense after seeing the picture, right? The women were thinking that they could return following Sabbath. rolling back the stone and complete the burial, sliding Jesus' body into one of the tomb's sliding niches. The purpose of rolling a stone is to open and to close the stone along the stone track. Yes. And according to Mark chapter 16, verse 4, they looked up. Verse 1, they were wondering, how are we going to roll this stone? They were anxious. And verse 4, they looked up, and this stone has already been rolled away. That was the situation there. So why did Mary flee to report to the disciple? Now Mary Magdalene saw that the stone had been rolled away. Yes, because she saw this huge, large stone. Men are needed with muscles to roll it, and it's been rolled away. So she flees to report to the disciples. And the proof is in the pudding, right? The tomb is empty. Amen? The tomb is empty. And that means he is. Everybody say. Reason. The tomb is empty. Mary Magdalene noticed the stone had been removed from the entrance. Verse 1. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put. Jesus never showed himself to all people after resurrection, only to his friends. According to Acts chapter 10, verse 40 and 41, by witnesses God had already chosen a select few friends, Jesus showed himself. The demonstration of resurrection favor. This is a favor to the specific friends. Through them, he proclaimed to the world that blessed are those who don't see, yet they believe. Amen. The empty tomb is the first proof. The proof of what? He is risen. Amen. The empty tomb is the proof. Now, the second proof. Is the Mary Magdalene herself. A lady from a place called Magdala, northwestern Sea of Galilee, seashore, north of Tiberias, northwestern village Magdala. She demonstrated sincere love at and after the death of Christ. The Lord is crucified. That's it. After that, end of discipleship, no for her. She kept going. Amen? Magdalene's love is extraordinary. Perhaps she wanted to wash the dead body with tears. Came to weep. Came to anoint the body with the anointment she had prepared. Extraordinary affection she had. Extraordinary love she had for the Lord inside the grave. Mary Magdalene's love for Christ took away even the terror of the grave from her. Yes, took away the terror of the death and the grave for her. She loved the Lord even when there was the valley of shadow of death around her, brothers and sisters. She feared no evil because she believed that I have been loved by the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And the perfect love cast all fears. Mary Magdalene sought the Lord early in the morning. Do you want to find out the Lord? Encounter the Lord? You want to spend time with the Lord? Have a habit of spending the Lord through his words early in the morning. Amen? Be up early. Seek him very early in the morning while it is still dark outside. Draw near to him. His word says, he will draw near to you. He will draw near to us. Surprise, a large stone rolled away. Getting to know crucified Christ, getting to know the fountain of life, getting to know his grave, getting to know the well of salvation, the early seekers. Get the surprising comfort, and you receive the frequent encouragement. Spend time with God early in the morning. It's here. Know the story of Christ crucified. Amen? Meet him in the grave. All your fears gonna go away. For Mary, it was true. All the fears went away. Yes, spend time with God. Amen? The Lord had healed Mary. He had cast out 7 demons out of her. Amen? She had 7 demonic influences in her. 7 deadly sins. Pride. Avarice. The greed of wanting to have that control and position. Gluttony, luxury, love of money, anger, envy, and careless living. Wasn't that all? One demonic influence can make a life so miserable. Here we're talking about 7 demons in her. The Lord Jesus Christ had freed her from the influence of the evil spirits and infirmities, brothers and sisters, to whom much is given and much is required. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. She had her circle of women and she supported his ministry. It is our Christian duty. So, looking at Mary's life, to demonstrate that, to live that faith, to live that sincere life in Christ. If we are blessed with time, talent, wealth, knowledge, even the broken roof, broken printer, children needing some help, coming to worship, rehearsal, piano, sound booth, going out, seeing people out in the nursing home, accompany me, let's go. Meet some people in the jail. Do you remember what he said? I was hungry. You fed me. I needed some clothing. And you gave some clothes. I was thirsty. Gave me a drink. I was in that jail. He came to visit me. Due diligence. What does it mean, living a Christian life? When life is hard, even if you have to go through dark valley, fear no evil. Sometimes you feel like, where is the Lord? I don't even feel him. Where is he? And you keep crying and weeping. If you do that, that doesn't help. While weeping, seek the Lord to find comfort. Meet him in the grave. Your fear is going to go away. Brothers and sisters, right? Amen? Be excited to dig through the path of old rugged cross. Amen? Getting to know the crucified Christ through his word means getting to know the fountain of life. Amen? Getting to know the well of salvation. Get your free access to comfort through his word. Brothers and sisters, yes, Christ crucified. If you go a little further, and there is a story about Peter and John, right? And how Peter and John start together, and John outruns Peter. They were together. What made Peter slow down? Why John is outrunning him? Perhaps did he think in his heart that, oh, you know what, I denied the Lord 3 times? Was it something? Could be. But what made him slow down? But John, go to the tomb. And he bended over and looked. But again, Peter out there, John. Amen? Peter went inside. And the story of Mary Magdalene is different. Both Peter and John believed and went home. Peter was wondering what happened. He went home. But Mary Magdalene lingered around. Amen? She didn't leave until she encountered the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of life are we living as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Encountering the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, John, Mary, weeping, shedding tears, yet seeking. Amen? Brothers and sisters, what kind of Christians are we? What kind of followers are we? Are we lingering? Are we persistent? Are we consistent? If so, continue to do so. You will encounter Jesus. You will encounter Jesus. Amen? You will encounter him. Yes, Mary cries. Second proof, Jesus appears to Mary. Resurrection did happen, amen? Tomb was empty. Mary's life is changed. Seven demon was casted out of her. All the demonic influence is gone. The one who is much given, much is required. She comes to the grave. She weeps. She lingers. And she encounters Jesus. Mary stands out the tomb crying and bent over to look. She sees two angels and the angels question and she shares her concern. Why are you crying? Angels said. Read between the lines. This is the time for joy, Mary. You cry. Yes. One is seated up in the this side of the bench, the other is seated on that side of the bench, those angels, and all of a sudden, Jesus appears. Amen? Yes, Mary turns down, but didn't recognize Jesus. Jesus asked two questions. Mary thought he is the gardener, and she pleads her request, and the conversation with the risen Lord. Conversation with the risen Lord, amen? So she did her constant and fervent affection, she demonstrated it as her love for the Lord. Yes. When God's presence seemed like nowhere close, it is not a good feeling. But yes, with our persistence, we keep on going, seeking. He will show up. Yes, after the two conversation with two angels, Christ himself steps in and he is at the right hand. He manifests to those who seek him. She longed to see the dead body of Christ. Behold! She sees him alive. Amen? Keep seeking. Keep crying. He does more than you expected. Keep seeking. Keep crying, keep weeping, but never stop seeking. Risen Lord asked, why are you crying? Who is that you're looking for? Amen? He knows his people's griefs. He knows. Christ knows. He knows they are seeking him, if they're truly, genuinely seeking him. Amen? This is the personal relationship Christ has one-on-one with us. So, her affection was true. If you have carried him away, wherever you have laid him, please show me. True love thinks it can do more. And there she was, totally committed. And Christ revealed himself. When he says, Mary, Mary. There is the ear of Lord's kindness. There is his familiar sound. Christ's sheep know his voice. I call my sheep by their name. Those who belong to me, listen to me. Amen? So, Christ says, touch me not, but go and carry the news to the disciples. Mary wanted to express her joy by her love, her affectionate embrace, but Christ forbids. She must believe and adore him, but must not expect to be familiar with him the way she used to be. Amen? This Christ she's encountering is a resurrected Christ, glorified Christ. So, brothers and sisters, Christ leads her to the spiritual communion with her at that time, which she would have with him after he was ascended to his Father. Though I have not yet returned, go to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father. They must look higher now. Brothers, they must look higher than the bodily presence. They must look further than the present state of things. Touch me not. Do not stay now to make any further inquiries or give any further expressions of joy. For I have not yet returned. That was the meaning. The best service Mary can do is this. Carry the good news. Amen. The good news is he is alive. Carry the good news. Lose no time. Go with this speed. Not stay to talk. It is the day of good news. She must carry masses quickly. Now, this Christ. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven now, right? Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to faith we profess, or we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. So, the camera turns to us now. We heard the colt of the donkey is returned. Yes, Palm Sunday is gone. Palm leaves are not around. The colt of a donkey we heard is returned, right? What is it to us now? Are we excited? Are we at the speed, catch the speed, and share the good news of what the Lord Jesus have said? Go tell my brothers. Go tell my brothers. My God and your God, my Father and your Father. Amen? It took him on the cross for us to say, my Father. The wall of sin has been broken. The heaven is torn apart. The one open can be closed, but the one torn apart cannot be fixed. The heaven has been torn apart. Christ has come to us. The risen Savior, he is alive. Amen? He is risen. What does it mean to us? Are we ready to go share in a hurry? Like Mary Magdalene, Peter, John? Mary Magdalene, apostle of all apostles, very deeply committed to Christ. Come, let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Lord, you have called us. Yes. Lord, you didn't enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but you entered the most holy place once for all by your own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption for us. The Spirit of Christ no longer calls us friend, but brothers and sisters. Oh Lord, help us to think about that. Mary didn't delay. She went on. She told brothers, I've seen the Lord. We can say the same thing, Lord, help us. I've listened to this story. Yes, I believe. Yes, he's alive, alive. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to share what we have heard. Oh, Lord, our God, you have given to us the glorious gospel of our risen Savior and Master. Grant that as we joyfully receive the good news for ourselves, so we may gratefully share it with others and ever give glory to you. By your grace alone, we are what we are through the same Jesus Christ, our Savior. Help us, Father, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people say,